Right, this week instead of talking about the parsha, I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about tefillah, because this is a time of year where we start davening a lot more. Starting next Motzai Shabbos, we'll be saying slichot. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to speak in a Sephardic shul on late Motzai Shabbat, and someone said, oh, why are you speaking there? I said, for slichos, pre-slichos drasha. And people were like all confused, because Sephardim have been saying slichos for a while already, at least the Sephardim who are behaving have been saying slichos for a while already. But I was talking to a Sephardi guy, he's like, yeah, I've been davening in Ashkenazi shul. but for us, we're going to, for Ashkenazim, we're going to be starting saying slichos, not this week, next week, but it's a time of a lot of tefillah. You know, this time of year, I find that if, for those who are plugged into social media, first of all, you shouldn't be, but if you are, within the frum, world of social media, it's like a time for book recommendations. Why is it a time for major book recommendations? Because everyone wants to know, what can I read during davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? You know, I'd be stuck there for so many hours. What can I read during that time? It's important for a person to realize that sometimes what's appropriate at one stage in life is not appropriate at another stage in life. And we're not always, made aware of what our goals should be. I remember when I was a 12th grader, or early admissions in YU actually, when I was learning Mishnayos from a Kahati. I was very into Mishnayos that year. I was doing a parak a day, whatever. And I was learning with a Kahati. And Rav Simon Shlita came over to me in the Beis Medrash to give me chizik and compliment me on all the extra learning and this and that. And then he said, but you should just realize that the goal when learning Mishnayos is to be able to learn from the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos. That Kahati is not the end game, right? Kahati is a cheat sefer ultimately. And you should ultimately get to the point where you're able to learn from the classic Mishnayos. I think it's just an important hashkafa that sometimes what's right for a person at a certain stage in life, as you grow and develop, different things will be right. Last year I mentioned in Shir that it's not appropriate to learn during Chazaras Hashatz. It's against the halacha. You're not allowed to, you have to pay attention to the Shemana, to the Chazaras Hashatz. So one of the smicha talmidim came over to me and said, no one ever told me that before. In yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, it was a big inyan to figure out, everyone's the big hack was, what sefer are you going to be learning during Chazaras Hashatz and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? They never heard that you're not supposed to be learning during Chazaras Hashatz. A person has to know what's a short-term goal and what's a long-term goal. So with that backdrop, let's take a look. Let's talk a little bit about tefillah. One of the phrases that we often repeat during the Yom Noraim is Kedalim uchorashim dafaknu delasecha. Right? That we are like destitute people coming knocking on Hashem's door. So Rav Naftali Trapp raises the question that we are also told that Dover Shkarim l'yichon negedeina, that you're not allowed to be Dover Shkarim. You're not allowed to tell lies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll see right through them. So we're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, Kedalim Ucharashim. I live in the five towns, right? Many of you live in, similar such communities. You look around, you walk up and down the streets. The houses do not look like the homes of Dalim Verashim. I'm not sensitive to these things, but a person pointed out to me recently that he was sitting in a shul in a modern Orthodox community, and he said he did a quick calculation. The row in front of him had $1 million worth of watches on their wrists. I don't know if that was an exaggeration. I have to imagine it is, but I don't know. But we're going to come kedalim ucharashim dafaknu delasecha. Even the poor among us have plenty of food to eat. Even the poorest people in our neighborhoods have two cars, and they have a home to live in. Poverty used to mean that you were at risk of starvation. Now poverty means that you're at risk of obesity, right? Meaning it's an entirely different. It's true, because you can only afford fast food and not real good healthy food. So what does that mean? That kedala mukharashim exactly. Furthermore, the pasuk says that in Mitzrayim. Vatal shavasam el elukim min ha'avodah. So Rabbeinu Bechai writes, L'lamedcha she'ein tfiloso shel adam shleima ka'osa shehu mispalu mitoch hatzara v'hadochak she'yoser mekubelis via ola lefnei yisparach. So apparently the more broken the person is, the more whole the tefillah is. The more the person is broken, the more the tefillah is complete. That's in stark contrast to tshuva. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pevav, tells us that tshuva me'ava is far greater than tshuva me'yira. Ava is an expansive feeling. Yira is a constricting feeling. the more whole the person is, the more whole the tshuva is. But yet the more whole the person is, the more broken the tefillah is. And the more broken the person is, there's an inverse relationship when it comes to tefillah and the person. But when it comes to tshuva and the person, it's a reciprocal relationship. Why would the keys to successful tefillah be diametrically opposite the keys to successful tshuva? And a third question. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudalit, tells us that there was a Neviah named Chulda. Right? She was one of the seven female Neviah. The Gemara wonders, you know, that's it's always like a trivia question for kids, you know, name the Shiva Neviyos. That's where Rav Feldman has an article about whether Chazal had a sense of humor. Do they ever make jokes? So there aren't many Mar Makomos in Chazal for jokes, but one joke the Gemara in Pesachim makes is when it talks about a weasel that finds chametz, and the Gemara has a havamina that if a weasel knows Pesach is coming, it's not going to eat up the chametz if it's going to save it for later. So the Gemara says, V'chi Chulda Neviyah hi? Is Chulda a Neviyah? And that's a joke, because Chulda was the name of one of the Neviyah. So it's not like, side-splitting humor, but it's clever, right? It's a joke. But there was a Neviyah named Chulda. So what do we know about this Neviyah named Chulda? The Gemara wonders, why was she ever allowed to share her prophetic visions? She was a contemporary of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi's level of nevuah was much, much greater than hers. So the Gemara answers that, considering their close family relationship, Yirmiyahu wasn't offended. He was okay with Chulda, with his karov, sharing her nevuah as well. So she was able to work as a neviyah. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand why she's permitted to share her nevuah, but why would Yoshio HaMelech, when he needs to consult a Navi, go to her and not go to go straight to the top? You're the Melech. You can go to Yirmiyahu. Go to the greatest Navi. I remember I once went, before I was going on vacation, so you always want to tell people that if you have any shailas that, that can't be WhatsApped or dealt with on the phone, that need to be seen in person, like need the shailas, so, you can ask such and such. Right, this and this rabbi, this and this person. So I once asked Rabbi Willig who I should go to, who I should tell people to go to in the five towns. So I suggested a name, not going to say the name right now. And Rabbi Willig said, why would you do that? Rabbi Forst is right there. Meaning you have the guy that literally wrote the book. Meaning if you could go straight to the top, and he's right there. So why would you tell people to go to someone who's, who's like a, if you have the chief of surgery, you don't go to a resident. Right, so the Gemara answers, "Mipnei shenashim rachmaniyos." Saying, "This is the Gemara." Gemara says, "Why would Yoshiyahu HaMelech go to Chulda and not to Yirmiyahu? Because Chulda has greater sense of rachmanos because she's a woman." And the Marsha explains that the rachmanos that Chulda had would motivate her to daven to change the decree from bad to good. So Rav Henoch Leibowitz raises the following question. He says, Rav Henoch Leibowitz has a, what's it called? Chidush HaLev, I think it's called. Jed got it for me when I came here for a Shabbos. He got me all five volumes. Hard to find Sefer, but it's wonderful. So Rav Henoch asks, how it really answers the question. Yirmiyahu was also mitzvah over the Chorban. Megillah Secha wasn't written by somebody who was like totally unaffected by terrible things that were going on. So what do you mean? Chulda was the only one that had that sense of rachmanos? So Rav Henoch suggests that we all know that when it comes to tefillah, the primary concern of tefillah is that it be with kavana. The idea of kavana is so important that even if you have a tiny, slight enhancement of kavana, it's something. It's a great accomplishment. That's a win. It's worth latching on to something like that. A person should never have the attitude, that I made it through the first 18 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei without kavana, so I might as well finish up Sim Shalom without kavana also. Meaning, if you caught yourself and you realize, whoa, where am I? I've just been daydreaming for 18 brachos. There's still a chance, right? You could still bring yourself back into it. You don't just chalk this one up as a loss. I'll give better luck at Mincha. Maybe I'll be inspired by Rav Tversky. We don't do that. If there's value in kavana at any point. One of the greater motivations of kavana is a sense of desperation, a sense of lacking. If a person feels that they have everything and they don't really require assistance, then it's very difficult to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. Part of the avoda of Yom Narayim is to realize that no matter how much success we may be experiencing in different areas of life, that's what was. But there are no guarantees for tomorrow. Our jobs, our families, our financial security, everything that we have, it's not a given. The judgment is happening with a clean slate. And therefore, kedala mucharashim, we come realizing that whatever we have, we don't really have, because we're not muchzuk in it. There's no chazakas over here. Everything's going to be judged anew. It's not like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's, once he has it already, let him keep it. No, it's a question of whether we deserve it all over again. The Maisa is told that Rav Lichtenstein had there was a child in the family that was going through a surgery, and the entire family had gathered in the waiting room and was saying Tehillim the whole time. And the doctor came out and told the family the good news that the surgery was successful. So tears and hugs all around, a moment of relief, everyone was, and they turn and they see the patriarch of the family, Rav Lichtenstein, tears poured into his Tehillim, davening and davening and davening. Dafka at that point. If you listen to that Spadim, when Rav Aaron passed away, his daughter, Esti Rosenberg, said in her hesped for him that when Rav Aaron would say Tehillim, he didn't say Tehillim, lo amar Tehillim. He cried, sa'ak v'za'ak Tehillim. It was passion. Specifically after the tzara passed, was time not to take anything for granted, to re-engage in tefillah, to realize that whatever I have, I don't necessarily have. So when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not being disingenuous when we refer to ourselves as Dalim Barashim. We really are. Even, you know, as we're davening out of this expensive leather-bound machzor in a multi-million dollar shul building, wearing a custom-made suit with a colorful, buttonhole thing, right? That's and the unbuttoned sleeve buttons, right? And the million-dollar watches, which I didn't even know was a thing. It's aspirational when we say kedala mucharashim. We want to come to Hashem feeling that whatever we have is on loan, and we don't know when that loan is going to come due. And that's how effective tefillah happens. Tshuva me'ava is stronger than tshuva me'ira, but tefillah from a place of brokenness is the most powerful tefillah, because tefillah is all about kavana. And brokenness enhances our kavana, even if just slightly. The reason Yoshiyahu went to Chulda, even though Yirmiyahu was also Baal Rachmanus, is that Rachmanus came more naturally to Chulda because she was a woman. So she more naturally felt the pain of other people. And even that minor difference, says Rav Henoch, even that slight difference in Rachmanus will make a slight difference in tefillah. And a slight difference in tefillah is huge. I think that's the hashkafa that we have to go into this season of tefillah with. I'm going to tell you, for me personally, this hashkafa has been life-changing. Rabbi Reisman mentioned in a number of his shiurim that each year he tries to take three words of Shemona Esrei. Three words. He says, this year those words are going to be, those are mine. I'm going to be totally zoned in on those words of Shemona Esrei. And you know, in his self-effacing way, he says, people ask him, well then you're never going to get the whole Shemona Esrei. If it's only three words a year, you know, when are you ever going to have? And he always says, you know, God will decide how long I'm going to live, you know, but that's up to God, you know. I'm going to take it three words at a time. Obviously, it doesn't mean he's not having kavanah for the rest of Shemona Esrei. But it's such an unbelievable etza to take three words. Last year, or 2 years ago, I decided, Hamachzir Shechina Solitzio. Why did I decide that? Because Rabbi Reisman said that he was once davening next to Rav Eliyashiv, and Rav Eliyashiv, like Rav Soloveitchik, used to daven very loudly. He'd be Mashmiya Lazna, but also Lazna Echerim. So you could hear him. And Rav Eliyashiv davened pretty quickly. Also like Rav Soloveitchik, he davened pretty quickly. Like Adam Amadaber El Chaveru. But he said he was able to hear that Rav Eliyashiv slowed down and got super duper intense at three words. Hamachzir Shechina Solitzio. So those are... a good three words to think about what they mean to you. Or this past year, I did three words. I did Erev Avoker V'Tzarayim. I decided to think about, you know, Machzor Shechina Solitzion is easy. You think about the Har Habayis and what's there now and what belongs there, and you know that you want the Shechina back in Tzion. So you just envision it. You have that picture in your head. Erev Avoker V'Tzarayim, middle of Modim. I'm thanking Hashem for everything. I happen to live my life in three different contexts. I have Erev, where I'm at home. Sometimes I have Boker where I'm in Shul, and Tzarayim where I'm in Yeshiva. So I think about having Hatzlach and being grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all three areas of my life. Three words. I'm telling you, it is life changing. I mentioned this in Queens a couple of weeks ago, and I've already gotten emails from guys who were there you know, I thought of this shtickl Torah in my three words that I've been focused on, and it's changed, it's had a spillover effect, because what are you going to do? Have covered of those three words and say, okay, shut off my brain now. Now I'm not, no, I mean, it will obviously spill over to the next three words also. I mean, it's obviously going to have, and sometimes you'll miss it, sometimes you'll zoom right past those three words and you'll be like, oh well, but you'll get it next time. You'll get it next time. Every little bit in tefillah matters. And Be'ez Hashem, when we think small, we end up accomplishing very, very big things.